Well, if you would open up your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 5, I've got a brief announcement just wanted to make by way of reminder. In Ephesians chapter 5, and if we could take a look at verse 15, it says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise." Well, if you've been through our parking lot, you understand why I say that. Let's be very careful how we walk through there. We had some digging occur here this past week, and so there's some dirt in places you're not used to it and some uneven surfaces as best as we can. And what's interesting is a part of that word walk means to live out one's life, and it's how we oftentimes think, but there's also to make one's way or to tread about. So on your tires, you have tread, right? So as you're driving out, if you could just be careful, there's a pipe sticking out of the ground in the driveway as you go out. We've marked it with some cones, but if you're driving out, just wanted by way of reminder that we kind of keep an eye on that. I hate for you to hit your vehicle on it. So there's my little joke for the day. But there's a care in that, though. But if you could go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Been reflecting this past week or so about different burdens that the Lord has brought into my life, both in how He's begun to stir things in my heart, in my own walk with Him, as well as things that He's begun to burden my heart for this body and in the ministry that He's given me. I'll just briefly kind of share with you, I came to know the Lord in my late teens while I was in college. As I got ready to go into college, as I was a teenager, I was really into sports. It became very apparent I was not going to be an athlete, though. I'll let the shock wash over you for a second. It's not that funny. Okay, it's not that funny. But I set out. I said, okay, well, maybe I'll find something else to do in there. And so I started off in the medical side in sports medicine, and did that for a little while, and I changed my major again. I went into broadcasting. I said, okay, I can do something in the radio. They don't want me on TV, but they can put me on the radio maybe. And I thought maybe I'll go that way. So I did that for a while. But in the midst of that time was when I ended up receiving the Lord. And as I got towards the end of school, I had changed my major one more time, and it was to education and teaching. And it's still at that point, it was with a mindset of, you know, I'll go be a teacher in a school. And there was these different things that throughout those years that God, though I didn't even realize it at the time, was beginning to put on my heart. And it was a number of years later I began to reflect back on this, and there was three things that God had begun to put on my heart. There's a desire that I would see someone be healed, the medical side of it. There was a desire to begin to broadcast something. I thought of it in terms of worldly things. And there was a desire to teach. While I, in those years, viewed it in a very different way, as I began to look back, God was beginning to prepare my heart to want to see those things done where it really matters, in an eternal way. A desire to see different ones be healed in their hearts. A desire to see a message that would rescue be broadcast. And a desire to teach. It was a few years after this, as our son was born, Timothy, and some of you know the testimony, but it was a very difficult few days. My wife began to get sick as she was getting ready to bring Timothy forth, and Timothy was in distress, and they ended up having to go in and take him out, and he wasn't breathing at the time when he was born. Then Savannah continued to get pretty sick afterwards, and we weren't sure in the midst of that what was going to happen with either one of them. So we were in the hospital for a number of days, and as we were there, my dad was driving our car to come pick us up and get some things from the house, and somebody hit him in the car, spun him around an intersection, and then took off. So we've got a two-year-old, a newborn that's not been doing well. My wife was sick, and we only had a little four-door Toyota Corolla to begin with, and we couldn't open one of the doors, and the trunk stayed open. So we began to go home, and then we find out the insurance wasn't going to fix it. They said it was an uninsured motorist thing and there was some paperwork issue and they weren't going to repair the vehicle. And we had been saved for several years at this point. And I remember going in the downstairs bedroom, and my wife grew up in this church. Those of you that know her well, she grew up in this church, and I didn't. And so in those early years, there was this thought of, I've got to be digging in God's Word. I've got to catch up. I'm supposed to be the leader in the house. So I've got to know more about God's Word. I've got to be able to lead in these things. Not that that's a bad desire. But as I began to sit down in that room, and I began just crying and talking to the Lord, and I had no answers of how to fix these things. What God was revealing to me is, though I'd already made a decision to receive Him as my Savior, there was still this aspect of my own wisdom that I was leaning on. And it was in that time, as I'm sitting in that room and I'm talking to the Lord, that He's just telling me in my heart, it's got to be a relationship. It's got to be real, son. This has got to be just you and me walking through this. You can't do me plus your own thoughts and your own ways. It's got to be all me. And it was not long after that, we began to drive to church on a Wednesday night. And my wife could tell you the last place I ever wanted to be was in a youth ministry. Teaching to begin with out in front of a group of people, but especially I kind of skipped my teen years, we joke. I never really was a teen, but we're driving to church, and I go, you know, honey, I think I have a burden for the youth in the church. I think Savannah almost fell out of the side of the car, and the Lord began to burden my heart in this way. And I took you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and if you could just look there with me in the beginning, in many ways, what Paul begins to encounter with the church in Corinth is a lot of the things that we really see in our society around us. There's a desire for really immediacy and self-focused and relying on man's wisdom and understanding in things and solving problems in that way. But Paul, as he begins to come to the church in Corinth, he says, "When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or with wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing except nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." What God began to make very real in my life in that season is He began to then give me a burden for this body and begin to call me into ministry, and in particular with the teaching within this church, is that in my own life, it wasn't going to be able to be my own wisdom. It was going to have to be resting in God. It was going to have to be trusting the power of His Spirit, not only in leading me, but in providing for our family. And as God began to lead me into being a pastor in this church, that's something that He's impressed upon as a desire for me, for all of you, is that you wouldn't rely on us as men. Us as pastors and teachers, we're not guaranteed tomorrow any more than any of us are. And if any of us are putting our trust in men, as we see the church in Corinth beginning to unite themselves to certain individuals, it just leads to us being disappointed because we're sinners too. But if you'll rest and trust in the power of God and the leading of His Spirit, you won't be disappointed. And that's one of the desires that God's given me for all of you. I've watched the power of His Spirit begin to work and transform our life in those years. And as a pastor, I want the same exact thing for you. And so you'll hear us as teachers. We'll talk about it. It has to be real in our own life, or else we can't teach it because it's not academic. I remember in college, just to kind of close out, we had different teachers, if you've been in this realm, and they would have you get their particular book when you would go through their class. It almost was as if it didn't matter whether it changed your life, but they wanted their name to be in your hand and probably to sell books, probably on top of that too, if we're honest. That's the exact opposite of what our desire is that it wouldn't be anything to do with us. As John the Baptist would proclaim, "I must decrease, He must increase." That's what we want in your lives. That's the desire He's put in my heart for you. And Lord willing, that'll be what we'll see Him continue to accomplish till He takes us all home. We pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for the way that you begin to move in our hearts, the way that you make yourself known. And Lord, may we rest in you. May we turn and trust in you in every decision and every day within our lives. May it not rest in our own wisdom or understanding. May it not be in the wisdom and understanding of this world or in others. Lord, may we just put our whole trust in you, because you are faithful and you don't disappoint. So Lord, I thank you for making truth and your love so clear in our lives. May we as a church continue to walk in this way until you bring us to be with you. Lord, I give you thanks and praise today. In Jesus' name, amen.